Blog Talk Radio. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Our air date tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is December 3rd, 2017. We're having an open mic discussion on the serious issue of our black youth being at risk within the melanated community. Originally, the show was scheduled for 6 p.m. Pacific, okay, but we're back up here at 8 o'clock, so please spread the word. Please give us a call at area code 646-564-9630. We want to give a shout out there to Mr. J. Dizzle and Black I Stand Radio. We definitely want to give a shout out there to the United Conscious Minds Forum and business enterprises of what they're trying to do to enhance our community to become self-sufficient. Ladies and gentlemen, our youth are at an extreme risk. We as a people, ladies and gentlemen, in the diaspora on the continent and here within the USA are in a state of emergency. And we invite our callers to call in and participate in our forum tonight. Call in at area code 646-564-9630. I'm Shabaka Sankara, your executive producer, along with our producer, the one and only Mad Dr. D. And I'm coming to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, from the Imperial Room in San Joaquin County, California. Okay, first of all, we have to look at the educational situation that puts our youth at risk. We have to look at the genetically modified products and organisms and food products that are putting our youth at risk. We also have to look at the political spectrum as well, too, that put our youth at risk. Okay, number one, in the educational infrastructures that they have in these indoctrinating centers called the inner city public school systems are doing nothing more than to breed our children and our young people one, to become dependent upon others for jobs, two, setting a pattern of behavior for them to wind up to be incarcerated, and three, giving the illusion of inclusion. Currently, in these current political times, ladies and gentlemen, we definitely know that we must become self-sufficient. It's because every other group of people is making their revenue, making their money off of our resources, rather if it's natural resources on the continent, rather if it's our human resources, or rather if it's our intellectual resources. We have to start doing for self. It's because this is what every other group of people are doing. And then also, too, currently in the news, I'm hearing a lot on the situation there in Libya, where Africans are being enslaved there in Libya, so definitely you can call in and comment on that as well, too. It's because that's putting our youth at risk as well, too, on the international level. What we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have to reach out and connect, okay, not only here in the Americas, but also, too, in the diaspora and on the continent itself. If there's anyone who's willing to comment and has got some knowledge to drop in regard to the situation over there recently in Zimbabwe where Mr. Robert Mugabe resigned as the president, feel free to give us a call at 646-564-9630. We definitely give a shout out to all our RBGs up there in the Pacific Northwest, up there in Tacoma, Seattle, and Portland, Oregon area. Definitely a shout out there to New Era Detroit with their great efforts and progress of what they're making there, dealing with the water crisis there in Flint, Michigan and near the Detroit area. Also, too, to New Era Chicago of what they have been doing here, bringing attention to these disrespectful business owners within our community and also, too, emphasizing the boycotts on that as well, too. In addition to definitely boycott Black Friday, because most of your major retailers are looking upon the season, holiday season, you know, that makes 50% of their gross revenue for their sales. Let's boycott the NFL, the National Basketball Association as well, too, indefinitely, because from what I understand is that the NFL owners have got together to put up $100 million to stop the protests, saying that the black players are disrespecting the flag. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing more than hypocrisy. As the ancestors told us 50 years ago in the 1960s that we were taught, and it was shown to light of the hypocritical situation when it comes to the American social order in regard to melanated and African and black people as well, too. Also, too, all these no good black ass politicians, you need to go ahead and resign. You're not serving us no cause. If you are serving a cause, please, you know, do something of some significance. And what I mean by that is definitely put the issue that affects our people first before everybody else's, because a common thing has been said about every black politician: when the first thing they do, they campaign very strong in the black community. Then when they come to office, the first thing they want to say, well, we're here to represent all the people. And I interpret that to mean everybody else but us. So therefore, if any black politicians are out there, are conscious, or if you're trying to do something positive in the community, put our people first, just like what every other group of people do when they come to office. And then if anybody's got any comments that they want to bring out in regard to what's going on with this current dump regime, the 45th president of the United States, Dumbo Jeff Sessions, his attorney general, and then all the collusionary and unscrupulous and underhanded practices and garbage of what they're doing. And if anybody want to come out there and comment on about the situations there in politics, in major businesses, about the sexual harassment, you are welcome to do so as well, too. It's because everything that I've mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, have put our black youth at risk. Now, I did state on the educational systems about how they are being, you know, diverted from being on a positive path, going into a negative path. Then also, too, with these professional athletes, you know, who are scared to get up there and take a protest and deal with Mr. Kaepernick of what he is doing. And it's not so much Mr. Kaepernick himself, but the situation of how our people are being murdered by these state-sanctioned homicides from the various states, and nothing is being done about the murderers who are killing our people. Also, too, I want to give a shout out there to Mr. Boyce Watkins of the great work that he is doing with his financial Juneteenth and the knowledge that he is dropping, emphasizing business opportunities and entrepreneurship within the black communities, because entrepreneurship is what creates the jobs. And in this day and age of the early 21st century, ladies and gentlemen, we definitely, you know, have to get our youth and build up our resources as far as getting those educated in the medical fields, also too in the scientific fields, the technological fields as well too. It's because this is how we could build our infrastructures up and do for self. Everybody else, you know, has to be put on hold for now, because we can't go out here and reach out to everybody else, not in this current time. The only unity that we should be focusing on, ladies and gentlemen, is Pan-African unity, because it is up to us to take care of us. And I've said this here many times before on previous broadcasts and podcasts and on other shows in which I was a guest, and I definitely thank those for allowing me to speak on their platforms. Also, too, want to give a very shout out to those who did make the donations to keep the platform up of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, December 5th marks our first anniversary of that this platform has been up, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, with your host and executive producer Shabaka Sankara, and producer and co-host, the one and only Mad Dr. D. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, please give us a call with your questions, comments, and concerns at 646-564-9630. Press 1 to speak live on the air. And in the meantime, we're going to take a brief intermission here, ladies and gentlemen, and listen to a track that we said that we would definitely play up here for one of our friends here out of the Pacific Northwest. And let's see what this young man has to say.
Stuff, or the one that got away, when we left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey, the only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs in your land, guns in your hand.
Yes, Mando, from a tell, bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with a COINTELPRO.
Risk can change, risk can change.
sitting around waiting for the shit to change. You point fingers, not acting, just complain. Decided didn't fight, just a shit to blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence seems to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror. Just drop bombs, some mothers and their kids. Yeah, just today, but shit. I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck and throw they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, the American ways, planes, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains. Chains, the American way, slaves, rips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Crips and blood, crips and thugs. Somebody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the schools with the hate. Chase the Panthers out of state. Whoa, one go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs, they working with it. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, that's the way our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together as we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you. No conform to authority. It's under uniforms, human bonds that bleed to. No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray? I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna start
and
touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains, the American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, the American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
That there was Glenn Wacko X Nika, and the name of that cut right there was Human, you know, by the young man right there, you know, who had performed that. So as we continue our discussion, ladies and gentlemen, as we are looking at the state of emergency that we're in, and what we've been talking about too online as well too is this effeminization policy of Hollywood against our young black male. Also to this mass incarceration that they want to continue. And also too, we have to talk about the shattering of the black family unit that has been going on within the last 50 years. And I had posted up on my wall the counterintelligence program information yesterday that was out of the late 1960s and early 70s. And I recall it being a speech, being at a speech in Los Angeles about 30 years ago, and the speaker had mentioned about how this power structure is targeting our youth for drug usage, mass incarceration, and also to dummying down our history to our young people, particularly those who were born after the 1960s era, particularly those in the 70s and in the 80s. And what has been happening in that time frame from my witnessing this, ladies and gentlemen, is that every other group of people is coming in here, you know, making money off of our community. And then on top of it, ladies and gentlemen, is that they are mocking us and disrespecting us. And ever since this boy Trump has been elected, this is what's been going on. You see, is that, you know, this racism toward us is coming back up. The self-hatred is, that we have within the community and within the division is being played up as well, too. You see, so therefore we have to sit up there and we have to deal with some ways to counterman, you know, that as well, too, is because we are in a state of emergency. They say so it's up to us, ladies and gentlemen, to take care of us. And it's nobody else's responsibility but our own. You see, it's because when you look at these other groups of people, they're damn sure taking care of their own. And then on top of it as well, too, is when it comes to us, it seems more or less, well, you know, that's the norm for them to be self-destructive, to go against their own grain. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that we all have been out of slavery as a people for only 150 years. And then on top of that is that that's very old for a person, but still very young for a nation. And we were enslaved roughly 275 years. So that's 13 generations that we have been enslaved. And then also, too, the certain items that we have went through, issues that we have went through and what have you, and then they tried to dummy us down to make us pretend that it did not exist. You see, that's the sick part about it. That's the sad part about it, is that they want us to believe that these situations did not exist. And this is why on a previous episode that we made, and we did a replay on it a couple of weeks back, and the title of that episode is that we were taught not to forget. So therefore, the mainstream Kool-Aid today is that anytime that melanated people, black people, or African descended people talk about the atrocities that was committed against us, or the degradation that was committed against us, not to mention the brutalization, all of a sudden that we are considered racist. And I do not understand that illogic. Once again, the Kool-Aid of white supremacy. And then you still have today, and fortunately, that they are on their way out, and I'm talking about these ass-scratching, chicken-pecking Uncle Tom Yasa bosses who are still sitting at the lunch counter begging white America for a cup of coffee. And also, too, I want to give a very, very special shout-out there to Mr. Jay Dizzle, who hosted a show a couple of weeks back talking about Charles Manson. And Charles Manson was a white supremacist. Charles Manson tried to set up the Black Panthers. And then Charles Manson had went on and professed before he got incarcerated, oh, is that the black man, you know, will win the race war and what have you. But then the black man, you know, does not have enough intelligence to know what to do after winning such war. So they in turn would have to turn to the white supremacist Charles Manson for guidance and leadership, and the dude was whacked. And I remember as a child in Los Angeles when the case was going on, and then he even had his people sitting out there on the ground. And when his people were out there talking about they're waiting for their father to be free. I'm talking about his Manson family crew, mainly his girls and his women who were with him were the following: Patricia Cream Winkle, Leslie Van Houten, Linda Kasabian, Squeaky Fromm, and Susan Atkins. And, of course, we know of the atrocities that they committed, you know, with the Tate LaBianca murders down in Los Angeles in August of 1969. The thing is this, people, is that we have to re-educate our youth ourselves. Also, too, what we have to do is abandon the so-called class situation that's going on within us. And once again, you know, that there's more Kool-Aid. We must get away from fake individuals like Jim Jones and all these jacklegs who sell us down the river and take our money. Yes, it's because of the revenue that is being generated off of that could have been a great deal of capital investment as well, too, as other groups of people are doing for themselves with this technological industry over here in Silicon Valley, which I'm about 65 miles east of right now. And keep in mind that all the raw materials that they make that come out of Zaire or the Congo, and we know the history of the Belgians right there, where there's King Leopold, where he slaughtered over 13 million Africans. Now the Chinese are there having our indigenous people work there in those mines, getting the silicon, the diamonds, the bauxite, the tungsten, the steel, all the raw materials and elements that are used to make all these laptops, to make all these cell phones, to make all these microphones, you see, and we are not sharing in none of the wealth. Something is very, very wrong here. And this is why I've created the hashtag, the resurrection of the mental dead, is because that's what we definitely need, ladies and gentlemen, is a mental resurrection, an economical resurrection, and a political resurrection. They have dumbed us down for the last 50 years. They try to erase certain truths from our history. And the sad part about it is that they even got these brain dead, brainwashed Negroes sitting up here perpetuating this garbage. You see, that's the sad part about it. And so once again, ladies and gentlemen, our phone number to call is 646-564-9630. Press 1 to speak live on air. We are definitely having an open mic discussion on the serious issue within the melanated community that is entitled At-Risk Black Youth. And our show is uncensored tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're over to we are asking our audience to be over the age of 18. If you're under the age of 18, this show is censored and is for more mature audiences only. And a lot of times we do have our general conversations as well, too. But when we are dealing with these serious issues at times, it can get heated. And also, too, we definitely appreciate being a part of Blackathon a few months back when I was in the Pacific Northwest helping our people down there suffering in the Houston, Texas area, I believe, from Hurricane Harvey. And once again, we definitely want to give a very, very special shout out to those, you know, that keep our platform going on. And once again, we deeply apologize tonight. It's because originally we were scheduled at 6 p.m. We got our press out there, and then what we did was we arranged it for 8 p.m. So definitely please give us a call at 646-564-9630. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play Stymella by the one and only Mr. Hugh Masekela.
That comes from Mozambique, Angola, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Botswana, Namibia, Lesotho, Swaziland, and the whole hinterland of South Africa. This train carries only the young men and old men who are conscripted to come and work on the continent in the gold mines of Johannesburg and its surrounding metropolis. Deep, deep, deep down in the belly of the earth, when they're digging and drilling for that mighty evasive stone, or when they dish that mishmash mud food into their iron plate with an iron shovel, or when they hear that choo-choo train a screaming and a puffing in the far horizon, they always curse the coal train that brought them to Johannesburg. Amen.
All right, folks, yeah, we're back here on the air. Tonight's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is at-risk black youth. And once again, as that we're looking at the situation that there is happening with the slavery over there in Libya, we got a lot of our black youth at risk over there as well, too. As we're looking at currently what's happening in the United States, once again, our black youth are at risk as well, too. And the sad part is about it, ladies and gentlemen, there's other groups and cultures that place great emphasis on providing for their youth to have them to become self-sufficient. But we don't practice that in the black community. And these public educational indoctrinating centers in the inner city public schools do not address that issue. And then also, too, another thing that we want to look at is within the inner cities about these projects of how they got the people in these cramped quarters on top of each other on these unpleasant circumstances. And quite naturally, of course, they would turn their anger and aggression toward each other, which is another form of genocide. And the worst form of the genocide is to have itself perpetuated in the same manner of which Carter G. Woodson had wrote damn near 100 years ago. If you have black people conditioned to go through the back door of the back of the bus when one is not there, then they will automatically build one. And it's just incredible of how those who are OTB, meaning other than black, tell us to forget when the power structure and white supremacy made it a point for us not to forget, as they branded us as slaves off those slave ships, as they put us in those cramped quarters of the slave ships, of how they degraded the men, sodomized the men in the presence of the women on the plantation system, how they lynched us and castrated us and what have you, but yet though they want us to forget. And the irony of the situation is they taught us so much not to forget. So once again, we're reaching out to our callers right there to please give us a call here at area code 646-564-9630. And then also too, ladies and gentlemen, another thing that has our youth at risk as well too, as we all know, and all the inner cities, is the narcotics and the drugs within a community to perpetuate self-destruction and apathy on us. And then once again, everybody comes capitalized off of it. The state, these stores, you know, that sell us nothing but death, and these establishments where other groups of people come here, you know, who have not even been here 20 years and already that they're running the stores in the community. This is why I appreciate the consciousness that New Era Chicago is raising in regard to boycotting, you know, these outside people who own these stores and exploit our people and disrespect our people inside of these establishments, if you wish to call them. And the irony of the situation is that every other group of people has taken advantage of and have prospered off of these so-called civil rights that our people went out there and got killed to do. You see, something is wrong with that picture, and we need to have that issue addressed as well, too. But, however, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we need the resurrection of the mental dead, is because this brain death that keeps perpetuating, you know, is enormous, is astronomical, and is just downright incredible. And as you can see from posts up on my wall on my Shabaka Sankara page here at Facebook, also to definitely check out our like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. This is where we keep updating, you know, our information of our upcoming shows and what have you. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we are having an open mic discussion on this serious issue within the melanated community. And originally the show was scheduled for 6 p.m. Pacific tonight, but however, we had situations to deal with, and so therefore this is why we're on at p.m. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, you could visit our Blog Talk show and go to our past episodes and leave us a comment on our like page of how you think we're doing, how our show can be improved, and also, too, for 2018 that we want to mention as well, too, we will be having some guest spots available for some guest hosts where you could come and present your material. Also, too, we will be having advertising slots for sale as well, too, where you can come on and advertise your business, your venture, or whatever community project that you have, you know, to help the youth within the Black community. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very imperative is that we have a lot of our youth starting to get educated in the medical sciences, in the agricultural sciences as well, too, is because we got to eat. And then also, too, I want to once again give a shout out there to Mr. Jay Dizzle of a video that he had put up on his wall, and he also put it up there in Black I Stand, too, as well on the group page of a guy by the name of Mike Adams, who's a laboratory technician and who has presented a great deal of research that he has done over the time of about the genocide against Black people through GMOs. Also, too, ladies and gentlemen, we see we have a caller here from area code 206, the last 47404. You're live on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. I'm queuing you in, and what is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your comment?
Peace, good brother. This is Jay Dizzle.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Dizzle? How you doing, sir? Yeah, it's definitely a pleasure of having you, man. I was just mentioning you right there, man, of that great work that you have done up there with Blackathon, and also, too, where you had posted up there on your wall the video by Mike Adams, the one who was talking about the genetically modified organisms of how they are literally killing us and that they are targeting us here in the Black community, and particularly in the reproduction of our youth.
Right, absolutely.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So, what are your comments here, sir? Yes, go ahead, Jay.
Man, in regards to at-risk youth, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to do as a community. We have to bring back that village, you know.
Yes, sir.
We definitely have to properly educate. That's something like, you know, we have the up here. We have the YES program, the Youth Empowerment Solutions program, which deals with mentoring, education, entrepreneurship, readiness, vocational training.
Yes, sir.
Even getting involved in sports and things of that nature, and also just being that support network, you know, that support group that peers need, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, that young people need. So, I mean, mm-hmm. it's something that it's not difficult for people to, you know, organize in a fashion to do simple things, like even just a back-to-school drive or just a mentoring or tutoring, you know, things like
right.
that is necessary. And also, they have to be educated with politically relevant and culturally relevant education, so that way they know what to do with these skills. When they do get certain
yes,
skills,
sir.
They know their obligation to their people rather than using these skills to build up white supremacy. We use these skills to build up our community, and when our youth are charged like that, then we'll have a second wave of revolution like we've had before.
That's yes, sir. More absolutely. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And then also, too, Jay, I would like to announce that in the year 2018, we're going to be doing some very, very deep shows, is because, as you know, that there will be 50 years after the year of 1968. And I remember as a youngster, I think I was about 9 years old, is that you had a lot of historical events and controversies that went on in our history. And then if you had checked out the video posted up there a couple of days ago about the FBI's plan and White America's plan to eliminate the Black Panther Party with their counterintelligence program. And then, of course, as we know, is that the programs that they did, such as feeding the kids, you know, then the feds took it over and called it the WIC program. The same thing that we were doing for the elderly as well, too. You know, they stole a lot of ideas from the Panthers. You see what I mean? And then they want to sort of then discredit the party and divide the party from within.
Yeah.
And I believe that Kathleen Cleaver, Stokely Carmichael, I'm sorry, not Stokely Carmichael, of please forgive me, folks, because I recognize the fact that any Kwame Ture, yeah, and I do recognize the fact that any time that a black man or woman drops the name, the slave name of the slave master and comes on with an ancestral name, that there's a grave insult. My deep apologies on that, on referring to Mr. Ture with that slave name. But yeah, but he definitely brought up some issues up on that in the year 1968, 69, and 70, which was pretty much the height of the black liberation movement. And then when you listen to our sister Asada, Tupac's auntie, and exile, is that she did state, and I'm going to emphasize it again too, is that we got to take our liberation very, very seriously. We have to do it. It's because this is not something that is cool today and not cool tomorrow. This is an ongoing struggle, and we have to keep it going on. It's because, as far as I am concerned, black militancy had started when the first slave got upset of his situation on that boat, rather was on that shore resisting going on that boat, or rather resisting when he landed here to these shores and to this deplorable place called the United Snakes of America. And then there's an old saying out of South Central Los Angeles, never apologize for how you honestly feel. Well, you see, people, this is what white America did when they elected the dump as the 45th president. They did not apologize for how they honestly feel, and they thought that this guy would sit up there and represent their interests, but he's only representing his own. But however, we were looking for his regime to crumble within, just like what his predecessors did by the name of Nixon. And then also, too, Jay, you know, I want to emphasize, too, about the collusion that they got going on with these state-sanctioned homicides, one that happened recently up there in Seattle, from what I understand, where the Seattle Police Department had murdered this pregnant sister. Also, to Corrine Gaines, of course, Sandra Bland, and what have you. And then not to mention the fact that happened with Miss Diamond Reynolds and her husband, Mr. Philando Castile, in which Mr. Castile was murdered there in Minnesota, and the officer had walked away scot-free. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to emphasize on doing for self at this current time in history. We got to quit drinking the Kool-Aid of integration. We have to face the fact, people, it did not work. We must become self-sufficient. And we do have the intellect. We do have the knowledge power to do it. We do just have to change the mindset of it. Instead of us being employees for other groups, we have to come out here with entrepreneurship. Now, let's look at this here, Jay, and tell me what you think. And I'm going to turn it back over to you. Like, all in the inner city, you got all these hustlers going out there doing these illegal, ill-gotten gains, making their money illegally, but they put a lot of mental intellect into that. They put a lot of mental energy into that. And if we just change the value system on that and apply that same intelligence and apply that same ingenuity, man, I think, man, we could be most dynamic to countermand, you know, the current situation we're in. What do you got to say on that, Jay?
Well, I mean, that's interesting. You know, every ethnic group that you could really name in the United States have actually started off illegally with a legal business, you know,
yep,
whatever they had to do to survive, but they kept the code of conduct. For instance, the Italians, the Irish, the Jews, they had a code of conduct even when they were doing illegal business. So they didn't sell drugs to their own people. You know what I mean?
Right.
They didn't sleep with each other's wives. They didn't sleep with each other's wives. They didn't victimize women, elderly, and innocent people who had no involvement in the crime lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? So they basically had a code of conduct in which they be – not only that, they dressed as professionals dressed. They didn't dress to stick out. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They didn't look like the guy who was murdering people and selling drugs. They didn't look like that on purpose. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they had a certain code of conduct that they followed. They had a certain loyalty to their race or to their specific nationality, because they're all white, but, you know, the Jewish were loyal to the Jewish first, Irish, Irish first, Italian first, et cetera, et cetera. So though they had these illegal businesses, what they ended up doing was parlaying these into legitimate businesses. They parlayed them into political power. This is what you've seen happen with JFK's father. JFK's father was a bootlegger, a grandfather, whoever, was a bootlegger.
Yep.
He financed his children's education, got them the political connections, and he put one in political office, or all like three or four of them in political office. One of them even made it to the presidency. You know what I'm saying? We have Donald
yes,
Trump,
sir.
Who has prostitution background within his lineage. You know what I'm
yes,
saying?
Sir.
Related into
yes,
an economic empire, a corporate empire. And this isn't a new phenomenon. This is what they've been doing. So when it comes to our brothers and sisters who are, you know,
mm-hmm.
participating in high-risk behaviors or selling whatever they're doing, you know what I'm saying? We can't really
mm-hmm.
condemn them if we can't give them alternatives, even though my moral system wouldn't allow me to sell poison to my people at this point in time of my life, even though at some point
right.
I didn't have the consciousness I have now. But for even
right.
for those brothers and sisters who are participating in, you know saying, behaviors that are illegal, behaviors that aren't becoming of, you know saying, us as a people, but, you know, we have to eat, we have to survive, whatever the case is, to have a code of conduct that we follow would minimize the risk that our youth have getting in, you know, getting killed or getting involved in these activities. You know, we can build schools. People that are involved in this, they can still build schools so the children don't have to go through what they went through.
Right.
Like the Italian mobsters did. The Italian mobsters didn't rarely let their children know what they were into. They thought they were in construction
yes,
business
sir.
Or this other shit. They didn't let them know. They
yes,
didn't
sir.
Expose them to that room. Unless they decided that that one is qualified to take over, they kept them in the dark about these things, and they laid a foundation so that their children wouldn't have to get involved in these things. And when we start doing it like
right.
that, and we start organizing our economics in a fashion that will develop and grow our communities, you know what I'm saying, then we'll start leveraging the corporate power, the political power,
right.
you know what I'm saying, the
right.
independence as a community to be able to operate and flourish, and then generations to come down the line will be involved in politics and super corporate business, and we won't have to be involved in streets because that should be beneath us
exactly.
anyway.
Exactly. You see, and then also, too, that there was one of the things, too, that was in the 10-point program of the Black Panther Party 50 years ago was controlling the neighborhood through cooperative economics. You see what I mean? And it's because we still have to feed ourselves. We still have to produce capital equipment, which will produce jobs for us, number one. Also, too, providing for basic necessities that we need, you know, for clothing, housing, food, and what have you. And then, as you had pointed out so eloquently, is to change the mindset of our youth and get them up out of these public indoctrinated systems that the only thing that they breed them for is the penitentiary. And then also, too, we also have to look at the entertainment industry of it, is because, you see, a lot of revenue is generated from theirs, because I had posted up on my wall recently is that I was saying, hey, rappers, why don't you guys come up with some equal opportunity bigotry, you know, in your lyrics? Because I'm tired of hearing that NGR term, man. You know what I'm saying? And they can get, yeah, and we all know what the other racial epithets are for these other groups. And I noticed that these other groups seem to be using this NGR term, man, quite loosely. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Jay. When I was coming up, man, as a kid, man, in the 70s, you see what I'm saying? Is that when we was out here getting our damn liberation, and when OTB came with that, man, we used to go on and beat their asses straight out. You see what I mean? Straight out. You see? And they were very, very respectful about it. But now what has been happening is, you know, through the narcotic usage in the Black community, man, you know, that's been very, very heavy. Also through this dumbing down of this Kool-Aid and these rappers going out here on the mainstream and using this term NGR so loosely, talking about my nigga or my NGR and all this old type of shit. Man, hey, man, I ain't nobody's nigga. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we need to check ourselves on that. As well, too. And then, like I had said, you know, we're going to need, Jay, I figure, man, about two generations to make this correction, is because I looked at it over the last two generations, man, of how this systematic degradation had came about. Is because when the Black Panthers was in their heyday, man, in the late 1960s, early 70s, and what have you, what happened, man? They started flooding the community with drugs. And then every generation after that, man, you know, they had made it more and more severe. First you had the pills, the Red Devils, the LSD and all that. Then it went to the sherm. Then it went to crack cocaine. And then it went to these opiates now, you know, this heroin and what have you, this ecstasy and all that. And it seems like that each generation that I've witnessed in the last three generations in my lifetime, you know, the severity has gotten more and more severe. And then, of course, you got these black-ass politicians who sit up there, man, they turn a close eye to this. You know, they're getting paid up under the table as well, too. Look at some of them, man, that took a fall, you know, for doing corrupt acts, man, while they're in their political office as well, too. And then the cold part about it is that you'll get a lot of these you know, politicians saying that they're real good for the community and what they're going to do for the community. And then the first thing that they sit up there and say when they get elected, well, I'm here to represent all of the people, but here they put in all this great effort to get elected from within the black community. See, so therefore we got to change the mindset on that as well, too. Now, when you had the 44th president, Barack Obama, when he was in office, he could have used his executive power, like what Trump is using, you know, to get his agenda across about checking on these collusionary murderous police officers that are gunning down our people here in the streets of America, from Chicago to San Francisco to Seattle to Oakland to Los Angeles to Minnesota. You see, this is getting redundant. Then they have the audacity to come up here and tell us that there's no such thing as police brutality, and your sheriff of Milwaukee County there in Wisconsin, or former sheriff by the name of David Clark, was a classic example of this. And I mean, in this brain death, man, you know, it's just incredible. But we were enslaved for 13 generations, and we only been out of slavery going on, I believe, about 7 to 8 generations. So that is still young, you know, for a nation, but it's still very old for a person. And we have to pass this knowledge down from generation to generation. And this is another thing that Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced will be emphasizing into 2018, from the year of 1968, of a lot of great significant changes that happened in our people's history at that time, because from 68 to 70 was the height of the black liberation movement, although they tried to dummy us down on it. Just like when they murdered Fred Hampton in Chicago in 1969, him and Mark Clark. Mr. Hampton, from what I understand, was doing great work there on the west side of Chicago, of getting the youth to become self-sufficient, of looking out for the elders and then looking out for the little cubs, you know, and the generations, you know, after them as well, too. And then, of course, we do know what John Edgar Hoover did with his agenda of the counterintelligence program, and then also to eliminate, you know, the what they would call the black nationalist groups. Now they're using the term black identity extremists. And then also, too, I saw a clip where there was a congresswoman from California that had old Dumbo, Jeff Sessions, up there in a hot seat asking him if he ever heard of these black identity extremists. And then she also put the comparison up there about white identity extremists. And he was sitting up there tripping over his words, man, you know what I'm saying, lying through the crack of his teeth and, you know, and talking out of you know what. So what's your input on that, Jay?
I mean, it's interesting because when you look at the numbers of who has been involved in massive killings, political killings, or senseless, unprovoked killings, it's overwhelmingly, or even police killings, the killing of police, it's overwhelmingly not only white
people, sir,
but white people who have an extreme identity, meaning that they identify with Nazis, like groups with groups like KKK, the kind of groups that are white hate groups. They are the ones that are doing the most killings when it comes to killing police, or just killing innocent people, or doing politically motivated killings, or aggravated murders that happen, like what happened in Charlottesville. You know what I'm saying? It's typically linked to identity extremists. Yet they come with FBI profile, which more or less went to the law enforcement, you know what I'm saying? That was really like a memo that went to law enforcement to pretty much provoke law enforcement to be wary of them black guys who are proud of who they are. So when you see them with those ICTs, listen, they're more likely to kill you. When you see them with the with the copia, you see them with, you know what I'm saying, looking like they're proud of their ancestry, then just know that they're more likely to kill you for in retaliation to the killings that you guys are doing. So basically, you're illegally killing them. Well, these are guys that's going to probably get at you first about that. You know what I'm saying? So you might want to wrap it up on them. This is basically like a counterintelligence operation because, you know, COINTELPRO never ended. It never ended. You know what I'm saying? They transform it like they do anything else. It worked, so why would they stop it? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So,
And then not to mention in this high technological age now, you know, from 50 years ago, they even using it more so, in my opinion, is because I found it very, very interesting as over information that I've seen over the net and in mainstream news is that the FBI has stated that over the last 20 years, you had a lot of white supremacists, known white supremacists to them to be white supremacists, infiltrate the police departments, but at the same token, they're not saying what type of procedures or safeguards that they got, and I really don't think they have any to prevent this behavior from happening. But I do believe that it is Kool-Aid, and I do believe that it is a collusion for them to get on there and for them to do what they're doing. Is because let's look at the police departments, let's look at the district attorneys, let's look at the courts themselves. They sit up here, they refuse to prosecute these murderous police officers or these individuals carrying badges, okay? The prosecutors refuse to file the charges or have them acquitted or dismiss the charges. Then when they have these grand jury investigations about it, then they fail to file charges, you know, for murder against these police officers, not even manslaughter. Then also, too, let's look at the case of Dylan Roof, where he walks off in a church, murders 9 of our people. What the police department do? They take him to Jack in the Box. They take him to Burger King. They gave him a bulletproof vest, you see what I'm saying? But they never call him a terrorist. You see what I mean? The same thing, you know, with those guys that killed James Byrd down there in the late 1990s where they dragged him from the back of a pickup truck. You see, they never refer to those guys as white terrorists. You see, just like as you know, 50 years ago in the state of California, where a 25-year-old man had emphasized to the black community, hey, let's go up here and exercise our Second Amendment rights to protect ourselves, they labeled him and his organization as public enemy number one and referred to them as terrorists. Also, too, let's look at Afeni Shakur, Tupac's mom. Okay, with the Panther 21 case, she successfully became an attorney herself, and then she went up there and had all the charges dismissed against the Panther 21 crew, and which these charges were bogus. And I even believe that the chairman of the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale, had stated in some of his writings and memoirs is that they'll arrest him on trumped-up charges on one case. As soon as the court throws the case out and they walk out of court, the guy's not even touched down on the sidewalk yet, and they booking him for another charge. Now, this is false arrest. Actually, it's kidnapping. You see what I mean? You know, and these police officers are sitting up here violating the actual laws that they swore to uphold. You see, so therefore, we definitely got to emphasize to our current youth of this hypocrisy that's going on and gain the political power, which will come from the economical power, for us to counterman these activities. And then from what I understand is that I had spoken with another gentleman that hosts his own podcast as well, too, a few months back, where he was emphasizing about at the local level is that you can go ahead there, select the DA, select the city attorney, select the judges and what have you. But what do you do when these elected officials come together with this collusion? And then the sad part about it is these black elected officials that go along with this collusion. And then the situation was going on with Colin Kaepernick, and I want to get some input from on you on that there too, Jay, where the NFL is up here talking about they setting aside $100 million to prohibit or to prevent these kneel-down protests from happening at the National Football League games. flags. And they're saying is that when the people protest, that they're disrespecting the flag, and they in turn are disrespecting the military veterans. Well, let's look at the military veterans that came back from various wars, you know, from World War One, World War Two, what have you, Korea, and that they come back home, supposedly coming home, being honorably discharged, serving their quote-unquote country, and that they, too, were met with brutalization, hatred, and persecution as well, too. They don't mention that. You see, so we have to look at the hypocrisy of this, take it for what it is, and become self-sufficient on that. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. I'm your host and executive producer, Shabaka Sankara, with our guest calling tonight, the one and only Mr. Jay Dizzle of Black I Stand Radio. And also, too, Jay, tell the people out there, man, on our platform here, man, about your network and what you got going on.
Yeah, LiberateSomebodyMedia.net. You know, LiberateSomebodyMedia.net. If you go there, there's five different platforms that you can get down with. And as an extended network, you know, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced is definitely considered Liberation Minded Media as well. And we will be adding different platforms. You know, we're basically just trying to form. So when you say, like, what can we do about certain things, like when it comes to this black identity extremist and this propaganda that's going against us, one thing that we have to do is we have to mobilize our voices. So
yes, sir.
That means that
absolutely,
those of us that have platforms, we have to be networked together so we can have maximum reach of our people. And also the people have to be involved by sharing this and getting this out. You know, follow these shows.
Yes, sir.
Share these shows.
Absolutely.
Tell us about these shows. Because
absolutely,
this is our narrative that we get to get out. It's the information that we need to get out. Now, when you were speaking about that Colin Kaepernick situation, real quick, I want to just backtrack.
Yes, sir.
And they're saying that it's disrespectful to the flag. But if you read the flag codes, the flag codes, which tells you what is disrespectful, which is appropriate, what's not appropriate in regards to the flag, then one thing that is clearly stated on the flag code is that not standing for the national anthem is not disrespectful to the flag. It's not against the flag code. However, what is against the flag code is what pretty much every NFL team does every week before they play, and that is the way they fold the flag and the way they hold it horizontally towards the ground. That is disrespectful,
right,
according to the flag code. So as they violate the flag code 32 times a week, during the football season,
mm-hmm,
32 times a week,
mm-hmm,
they violate that flag code. And in other sports, if you find other sports, then, you know, hundreds of times a week, that flag is disrespected according to the flag code. Yet someone who's, you know, saying standing up for justice, they're trying to make it about the flag when it's
right,
never been about the flag. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they want to try to label him anti-military veterans, even though he gave $1 million to black vets. Even though there's hashtags veterans for cap, and any veteran I know,
mm-hmm,
white or black, they don't feel as disrespectful.
Right.
I've seen plenty of veterans,
right,
you know, speak on behalf of Colin Kaepernick saying that they died,
right,
for his right to do that. You know what I'm saying? So,
right,
you know, it's fugazi. But the way we combat that is we have to have a voice. You know what I'm saying? Because
exactly,
propaganda is what's ruling the minds of our people. So when
absolutely,
we get our enemies pumping our heads with how we should, with the narrative we see, how we should react, how we should feel about it, here, what the truth is, even though we know there's an alternative truth that is going out. You know what I'm saying? The way we combat that is we have to be able to have a narrative and be able to get factual information and be able to get what's going on in our communities and what is in our best interest. We have to be able to get that out to the people, and the people have to regard it in the same likeness that they do when they believe in these lies that's told to them, you know what I'm saying? So we have to validate our own media sources, our own narrative, and we have to mobilize accordingly. And
yes,
I want
sir,
to also bring up something that you were saying about the entertainment and the music. Since we're speaking about
yes,
the youth and at-risk youth. So as we know, a lot of our youth are involved in hip-hop. They're involved in rap. They're fans of rap. They rap themselves. They idolize certain characters, and the language and some of the things that they're speaking about is not good. But even more importantly
right,
than that, even more so than them not saying the N-word or not talking about certain things, I could accept that if they
would take the business, the industry, the music industry, the rap industry, and internalize it to benefit our communities. There's enough money that goes into this rap industry that every community can be building schools, hospitals, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Creating jobs.
Yes, sir.
And things like that, just from the revenue that's coming in from these tours.
Absolutely.
And you know what I'm saying? So if we did that, then our communities would be starting to grow. We can produce our own food, our own clothing, because as we know with this hip-hop,
absolutely,
also comes entrepreneurism. So that means that people are making different clothes. We'll be growing food.
Exactly.
We could have our community thriving just from the revenue if we controlled financial the commerce mechanism.
Yes, sir.
The distribution.
Yes, sir.
Of our own music.
Yes, sir. And then also too, Jay.
Absolutely.
And then also too, controlling our own banking systems as well too, it's because there's a sister, I believe her name is Dr. Joyce DeGruy, that I've seen her up there many a times where she has put up her videos up there on YouTube, and also too where she's came out with her platform as well too. It's because, you know, people have stepped to her saying about the so-called black racist, and where she made the statement, and I'm not quoting her, I'm paraphrasing her, well, how could they be black racist when blacks do not control no banks, blacks do not control no food production, blacks do not control no warehousing or distribution, blacks do not control no major forms of transportation or interstate or highway commerce, blacks do not control no police departments or no judicial areas. Now, I'm not talking about, man, just because you got a black judge, man, or got a black DA. You see, they pretty much are working against us right there, just like how you had that house Negro there on that plantation system. But, however, with the sister there in Baltimore, and I believe her name is Marilyn Mosby, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that the cops in the Freddie Gray case, is that she originally had went to go ahead and try these guys for second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter, and what have you. And then as she was going through the procedures to bring these fools to justice, she in turn, from those in her line of work of what she was doing, they tried to get the woman disbarred. They also tried to countermand, you know, her efforts on prosecuting these guys for the proper crimes of which they should have been tried for, which would be murder to manslaughter, rather if it's voluntary or involuntary. And then from what I understand of my research of what I did on the Freddie Gray case is that Mr. Gray was already injured from receiving mistreatment and beatings from the Baltimore Police Department previously, and that he had sued them and that he had won. So quite naturally, of course, that they were picking him out, targeting him to set him up, you know, to instill fear into him and to terrorize him for him exercising his quote-unquote constitutional rights. Now, this is the thing that Dr. Huey P. Newton had stated in his memoirs about the hypocrisy of this. You see, what the Panthers did is that they brought to light the hypocrisy of the situation. Now, here you're supposed to go out here, have Second Amendment rights. Here you're supposed to have the right to go out here to form a militia. And then, as you know, Jay, right up there, the state between us up there in Roseburg, Oregon, where those white nationalists had got up there and formed their own militia about a federal preserve or a federal land sanctuary up there that they had went up there and that they had occupied, and then the state had came out there with its police agencies and told them to leave, and what they did was is they went up there and exercised their Second Amendment rights and formed a militia to prevent that. But they eventually were removed from the land, taken to court, and then the courts did uphold their right to occupy the land, number one, and their right to form a militia to do it. You see, now the hypocrisy of it, from what I understand, and anybody with legal expertise in constitutional law, please give us a call at 646-564-9630. Press 1 to speak live on it and enlighten us on it. So why is it if we were to do this, then all of a sudden that we are labeled black nationalists, terrorists, as they called us 50 years ago, but now they changed the term to black identity extremists. You see what I mean? Now, what happened to our quote-unquote constitutional right. But let's be real, Jay. Just like what they said in 1857 in the Dred Scott decision, what was the Chief Justice's name? Roger C. Taney, who had stated, and I'm paraphrasing him, is that people of African descent were never intended or cannot be citizens of the United States and get protection of the U.S. Constitution. You see, and then I was having a debate with another brother online talking about that we are citizens of the United States, but I'm of the opinion that in actuality that we are still prisoners of war because we were brought here against our will. We didn't come up here looking for Plymouth Rock, and to quote the minister who told us 50 years ago, Plymouth Rock landed on us. You see, and it's up to us as men to go out here and to handle the situation, you see, and it's a very, very mighty task is because they went through a great deal to make it a point for us not to forget that we were three-fifths of a human being. They made it a point when they sodomized our men and young boys in the presence of our women and girls and daughters. Oh, no, he ain't going to be able to protect you. Look at what he is. See, so this is why you still have this ass-scratching, yassa-bossing-ass mentality that is still going on. But fortunately, that's going away. Fortunately, those guys are going to become passe very, very soon. And I thank the ancestors for that one right there. And this is why in 2018 is that we're going to, you know, emphasize, you know, like I said, events that happened in the year 1968. And another one that we're going to emphasize, too, is where Tommy Smith and John Carlos had took their political stand at the 1968 Olympics with the Black Power salute. And, of course, as we both know, Jay, is that they were stripped of their medals as soon as they came off the platform. Yeah, they lost their medals behind that. Then also, too, I want to emphasize, too, of the heavyweight boxing champion at the time who was on the lecture circuit standing up of how he felt about the situation in Vietnam. Also, too, there were some other situations that were going on with black GIs during the conflict in Vietnam as well, too. So we're going to be researching and addressing those issues as well, too, and we will definitely be having slots, Jay, for guest hosts, you know, to come on and host particular topics on that. And then what I'm going to do is that I'm going to put a lot of musical tracks together from that time point and history of what our music, you know, was about at that time. Instead of all this kill, you know, go out, do this, do that. And keep in mind is that the hip-hop and the rap music is a beautiful urban art form. It really is. And I believe Tupac Auntie had said something about that there a few years back about how the rap music style could definitely be very, very uplifting and get out very, very positive messages to our youth instead of all this for this misogynistical self-destruction. It's because look at how it shattered the black family unit. You see what I mean? And then also, too, we want to talk about, or what I will be emphasizing is down in the land of degradation of the black male, this section of the city of Los Angeles called Hollywood, and how they're going through great efforts to effeminize, you know, our men. Tyler Perry, like I've said on previous podcasts, very great actor, very talented actor, but here you want this man to dress up as a woman. The same thing that they did or that they tried to do with Dave Chappelle, and then they went on there and censored Dave Chappelle because from what I understand, he refused to partake in this insanity. Then also, too, we have to emphasize how they're trying to shove this alternative lifestyle in the educational system to our children. So I'm definitely with the straight black pride movement on that, and this is why I appreciate Brother Ayo or the Irritated Genie on the work of what he is doing on that, you know, is to get that agenda up out of our community. Yeah, say, okay, Jay, so we got, man, you know, like about 9 more minutes left, man. We're getting ready to sign it off, man. Got any closing salutations or comments or concerns or any upcoming shows or projects that you're doing, sir?
Yeah, well, first of all, man, you know, saying good show. I like the information you brought, the narrative. We need to keep on hearing messages like that. As far as Black Eye Stand Radio, Liberation Mind and Media, yeah, we'll be Black Eye Stand will be continuing in January. We have a lot of good guests that's coming up. We have Brother Garfield that's coming up, Brother Q Butter, who also works with the youth out in Brooklyn, coming through in many more. So we're doing it. LiberationMindAndMedia.net.
Black Eye Stand Nation Facebook group. And always a pleasure to chop it up with you, good brother.
No, yes, sir, absolutely. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, please check our like page of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Also, too, go to our groups where I'm the administrator, which is Pan-African Economics and Politics. Also, too, Shabaka's Black Experience. Also, too, Resurrection of the Mental Dead. Also, too, Black Men Working on Solutions as well, too, and Pan-African Economics and Politics. All right, Mr. Dizzle, I definitely thank you, man, for your input tonight, man. I hope everything's going well for you up there in the Pacific Northwest, man, and whatnot. And thank you once again. Yes, sir, absolutely. And we definitely thank all our listeners and our loyal followers, you know, for listening to us. And also, too, we are in deep appreciation of those that made the donations to get our platform back up and going. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close out our show tonight by the one and only Mr. Hugh Master Kayla as he performs Stymella. And also, too, we want to definitely give a shout-out to UJ over there at Black Eye Stand. Also, too, to the RPGs up there in Seattle and the Tacoma area. Also, too, to the RBGs there with New Era Detroit, New Era Chicago, and also, too, quite naturally, to the RBGs down here in the state of California. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Shabaka Sankara, closing out with Mr. Hugh Master Kayla, coming to you from the Imperial Room in San Joaquin County, California. All right, talk to you soon, Jay.
All right, please.
Always. Yeah.
That comes from Mozambique, Angola, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Botswana, Namibia, Lesotho, Swaziland, and the whole hinterland of South Africa. This train carries on in the young men and old men who are conscripted to come and work on contract in the gold mines of Johannesburg and its surrounding metropolis. Deep, deep, deep down in the belly of the earth, when they're digging and drilling for that mighty evasive stone, or when they dish that mishmash mush food into their iron plate with an iron shovel, or when they hear that choo-choo train a screaming apart in the far horizon, they always curse the coal train that brought them to Johannesburg. Amen. Yeah,